Good morning. Nice to see you here, and hope you didn't have to park too far away with the other gatherings. And thank Alistair for managing the car park and squishing more cars in than normally. Well, we're up to week six of the life you've always wanted. And if you haven't been around for a little while, or you're new to us, we've been doing a church-wide home group study, as in all the home groups have been doing the same study, and it's called The Life You've Always Wanted. So we do the study during the week, and then on Sunday mornings we take an aspect of that study and just develop it or reinforce some of the ideas. But let me just set the scene a little, as we did 3 weeks ago, just to gather us all in, if you haven't been kind of following along with us. So when you first become a Christian, some amazing things happen. Your sins are forgiven. You become, everything you've done that hasn't pleased God, or wasn't God-honouring, past, present and future, is all forgiven, all taken care of because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross. So an amazing thing when you become a Christian. You become totally 100% acceptable to God. No questions. 100% totally acceptable to God. And you become part of his family. And that's something pretty amazing. Daryl's mentioned that about God our Father is incomparable with the best father here on earth, and we're his sons and daughters. So pretty amazing. But more than that, heaven will be our home one day. Again, no questions asked. We'll be totally accepted entry into heaven, a place prepared for us. But the day we became Christians, the day we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it wasn't the end of God's involvement in our lives. He didn't kind of say, right, that's it, you're on your own now, I'll see you when you leave this earth. That wasn't the case. He has a mission for us, something for us to do here on earth while we're here. And it will give him immense pleasure to see us involved in that. And what it is he would love to see us doing is, over time, becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Over time, becoming more and more like him in our thinking and our actions. Another way of saying it is, he would like us to become more and more the person that he designed us to be, or the person he intended us to be. So little steps by little steps, as our life goes on, us becoming kind of the real us. And that's our mission in life. And that was the mission for the early Christians as well. The Apostle Paul, that great man of God, he encouraged, implored the Colossian church, and he says, be renewed. Become more like him. So more like him over time. This was his great desire for the Galatian church. He said to them, keep on in this process until Christ is fully developed in your lives. So you can see he wanted them just over time to become more and more like his son. And Paul reminded and taught the Corinthian church that they too were on this journey. He told them, we're being changed to become more and more like the Lord Jesus. And that was Paul's mission in life. And all these verses too relate to us. Paul said in Romans, and he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. So there's no sitting on the deck chairs waiting for heaven. We're to be proactive in this process of becoming the person God designed us to be. We're to be involved in that while we are here on earth. And that's what our home group study has been about over these 6 weeks. It's John Ortberg who wrote the study, wants to give us some biblical tools in order to help us achieve this process, so that we can become more and more over time like the person we will be in heaven, the person God created us to be. So we are in week 6 of the study, and another tool. Now, life can bring some detours in life. You're going along quite nicely with life, and then whammo, your world turns upside down, or maybe at least on a slight angle. I think of some of the detours in my life that have been quite challenging, and I've mentioned a few of them from up here. But I think of when my dad got cancer when I was a younger fella. And that was very impacting and challenging, not only on my dad, but on our family, on myself, and on my sister, my brother, and our extended family, and our church. We were kind of all going along quite nicely in life, and then boomfa, and our world was turned upside down. I think of some of the more weird challenges when I was overseas. And I was with my brother-in-law in this crowd, and the crowd rushed us and grabbed my brother-in-law and took off with him. I mean, that was a challenging wee episode in my life. And later in that day, being surrounded by soldiers with rifles pointing at us, you know, that was a challenging kind of time. And I think of redundancy for me. Twice in 3 years, you know, you're going along quite nicely, and then, boomfa, your world's turned upside down. And these incidents, they can stop us in our tracks. You know, just cause us to pause as we take in what's going in and take stock. But they can also cause us to stop and pause in our walk forward with God as well. And two, it can cause us to maybe turn around from that journey with God and make us head in the opposite direction. And that's real sad when that happens. Because suffering, trials, detours, whatever you want to call them, are actually tools that God uses to move us on in our faith. They're tools that that God uses to make us become more like the Lord Jesus. And it's the tool we want to look at this morning. And it's the last one that John Ortberg brings us. Suffering or trials or detours, whichever you want to call them. A very helpful verse is in James chapter 1 and from verse 2. So we'll look at this. He says, "My brothers and sisters, consider it nothing but joy when you fall into all sorts of trials." Wow, that's quite a big call, isn't it? That's quite a bold statement. Consider it pure joy. You're walking along, woof, your world's turned upside down. And James says, consider it pure joy when this happens. It's a bit of a head spin, that one. But you can see the first word in green there is because. So that's very handy. So we know that later on we're going to find out why he says that. But the first thing just to note is that it says that we will fall into all sorts of trials. My brothers and sisters, consider it nothing but joy when. It's not if, it's when you fall into all sorts of trials. So that's the first thing. When you're part of God's family, we are not immune to suffering and detours and trials. So it is going to happen. And they're going to be all sorts, big and small, weird and bizarre, but they're going to happen. So that's the first thing tonight. So let's read again. My brothers and sisters, consider it nothing but joy when you fall into all sorts of trials, because you know that the testing of your faith... So let's pause here. The second thing to note is that our faith will be tested. Our relationship with God will be tested in these times. That they will be tough and will begin to kind of question God as to why our relationship will be tested. So, let's read it again. My brothers and sisters, consider it nothing but joy when you fall into all sorts of trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect. So we're walking along, and whammo, we fall into some kind of trial. James acknowledges that our faith will be tested, our relationship with God will be tested. But then James says here, you need to stick with it. You need to hang on in there. You need to hang on to God through it. A point that he really wants to make strongly. And the outcome of that... So let's read again. My brothers and sisters, consider it nothing but joy when you fall into all sorts of trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So James is telling us that trials and sufferings and detours is a tool that God uses to mature us. He uses it to send us further on down this path of getting to know him and becoming more like his son and more the person he desires us to be. So do you see the flow from it? We will face trials. They will test our relationship with God and test our faith. But we are to hang in there through them and hang on to God, and the outcome will be that we will become more and more the person that God desires us to be. Further on down that road, you know, further on in becoming who God intended us to be. And that's why James makes that somewhat head-scratching statement, consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy. Have that part of the trial, that element in there, because of the outcomes that can be achieved in your life. So an amazing, helpful example that I've found and have kind of gone back to lots of times in my own life through trials and challenges is the life of Joseph. Remember Joseph in Genesis chapter 37, when we first meet him, he's just, in Genesis 37, he's just a 17-year-old, just a young fella, and he's living in a somewhat dysfunctional family, maybe lacking a bit of wisdom in his life. Some say perhaps a little arrogant, but we, you know, can't say 100%. But God was going to take him and develop him a long way down this path of becoming the person who God intended him to be, to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And suffering and trials and detours was one of the tools that he was going to use to achieve this. So remember, his brothers hated him. And that's not too strong a word. They wanted to kill him, and they plotted his murder. But instead, they decided to sell him as a slave. So Joseph went from being a favorite son, a favored son, living a cushy life, to being transported to another country with a different language, and there he was a slave in Potiphar's house, who was an Egyptian official. So that was a huge transition. Just think about that. Favored son, and now a slave in a foreign country. And this would have certainly tested his relationship with God. It would certainly have tested his faith. And he could have said, right, enough's enough. God, I'm out of here. Our relationship was, that's it. But no, Joseph hung in there, and he hung in with God. And as he did, God began to develop him in this situation. Potiphar saw something in David, in Joseph, some qualities, and he began to give him more and more responsibility, until eventually he became the head of that whole household. Potiphar had delegated absolutely everything. And Joseph thrived in the situation, and he became more and more like the person God designed him to be through this situation. But then, as you'll recall, he got falsely accused of attempted rape and got bound and thrown into prison. Again, he went from a somewhat privileged position he had worked up to, and whammo, suddenly found himself on a big detour, bound and thrown into prison. And again, this would have tested his relationship with God. It would have tested his faith. And he could have said, enough's enough, turned his back and walked away. But he hung in there, and he hung on to God. And God again began to further develop him. The governor of that prison saw something in him and began to give him more and more responsibility, until he was the second in charge of that prisoner. He was responsible for in that prison. He was responsible for all the prisoners. It seemed that only the governor was above him. He had far more responsibility now than he would have ever had if he'd stayed with Potiphar. God was certainly developing him. So God, in that situation, took him further and further down that track of being the person who he designed him to be, who he intended him to be. But then we find he should have been released from prison. But he was forgotten about, so he was left to languish in prison for a number of years. Again, that would have tested his faith. His relationship with God would have been tested. Why? But again, we see that he hung in there. He hung on to God, and God continued to develop him. And then he was finally released. And after all those experiences in life, he was now way down that path, way down that track, and becoming the person who God intended him to be. With all those life experiences, God really moved him on. And he was now ready for that role, that big role that God had intended for him. The role that he could have never coped with as a 17-year-old without those life experiences, without those detours in his life. And he would have never been offered that position. But now he became the second in charge of the world's most powerful nation at that time. Only the Pharaoh was above him. And how had God developed him? He faced trials. He faced detours. He faced suffering. They tested his relationship with God. But he hung in there and he hung on to God. And he became more and more the person who God intended him to be. And it's no different from us. If you remember the study just did during the week, John Ortberg asked his church, which is a couple of thousand people, to identify factors that were most informative in their spiritual growth. So things that came across in their life that kind of pushed them further and further along this path of in their relationship with God and this process of change and transformation. And he said the number one overwhelmingly, so the number one thing overwhelmingly involved suffering and pain. So the response from that survey was the thing that pushed them further and further down this path was detours, suffering, and pain. And that was the same response when the question was asked at our home group. The response was exactly the same. The overwhelming response was suffering and pain and the kind of detours in life. And I look at my own life and I think that the times when I've moved on in my relationship with God and being moulded to become the person who God intends me to be over time, again, is those situations when life has perhaps had its challenges and detours. So trials are going to come, big and small, diverse and varied. But let's look at them maybe through new eyes. Look at them from a slightly different perspective than we may have used them in the, looked at them in the past. So let's pray and thank God for who he is. Father God, we thank you that you're a God who cares about us and you would love us to become the person who you intend us to be. And Father, whether we know it or not, that really is the life that we've always wanted. And thank you that at times you will do whatever it takes to do that. And sometimes it involves detours in life. And Father, we just pray that we'll be aware that you can take these situations and really use them to move us on. So when we strike these things, Father, please just may your Holy Spirit jog us into thinking about this. And may we just hang on with you and see them through. Father, again, just for anyone here that is facing a big detour in life and is finding it hard, that they might be bold enough just to bring it to you and also just look out somebody who they trust just to share that with, to help them through that as well. But again, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the tremendous detour he did in life and the tremendous suffering that he went through. And Father, we acknowledge what was achieved was just one amazing thing, and we won't fully understand that until we do come face to face with you. But again, we thank you for his detour in life, what you achieve through it.